I tell you, when I'm talking to people, I kind of like them to know what I'm saying. I see a lot of evangelists, as long as they shout and jump and run and holler, and everybody's hollering and hooping with them, well, they feel like they're getting the job done. I just never was like that. I always kind of had to hear, you know, and kind of know what was going on. And when I say something, well, I love the people to know what I'm saying. Jesus preached, he was a kind of an unusual preacher. Sometimes he'd just walk over Brother King to a boat, climb in a boat, and just push out from the shore and sit down in the boat and start preaching. Or he might just climb up on a mountainside somewhere on a big rock or something and sit down and begin to preach to the people. If we had a preacher to do that today, we'd say he sure didn't get anointed, did he? He sure is out of spirit. I just said that to kind of let us know where we're living and how far we really are from Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why the church world doesn't get anything from God? Is they're too fleshly. Is the church world is too fleshly. Everything that affects the flesh affects them. Sometimes I think some of them are more worldly than the worldly people. That's right. You have to have a good ball game sometime to get them excited. You can have most anything to get the church excited if you play on their flesh and their feelings a little bit. That shows where they're living. And the reason they don't get anything from God, Paul said, I would speak unto you as spiritual, but they're not spiritual. And I think he had the same trouble we have, Brother King, in the day that we're living in. And Jesus said that if you get anything from God, well, you got to be hungry for it. And you got to thirst after it. And in most of the places I go, I don't find any hunger. And I don't find any thirst. That's right. I really don't. In most of the places that I travel, I find that people are not hungry and they're not thirsty. And that's why that the preacher resorts to physical display like he does is because he knows that he's not going to get over unless he does. He knows that. And because of that, he has to do something. Like a brother over in Carolina one time I was talking to him. He's a tent man. He said, Brother Pike, said, the way I do, he said, I always climb a pole. So that's the way I do. I said, well, why do you climb a pole, brother? He said, so I can get the people's attention. So you got to climb a pole and do something. And so he said, the way he always did, he just climb a pole. Well, I have a hard time climbing a pole now. So I just have to figure out something else. Amen. So I praise God for his blessings. And I noticed that when Brother Steve was up here and singing, I felt such a, you know, stirring among the people. And even before he got through, the service felt as flat as if you'd flipped half a dollar out in the creek somewhere. And I feel like it was God that had Brother King to get up here and say the things he did. I really do. Because I thought, Lord, with no more hunger than this, well, I don't feel like I can say anything. I sure hope Brother King's preaching. That's right, I did. I sure hope he does. Because I thought, you see, the way I am, and I can't help it, I'm just what I am. The way I am, I don't know anything of myself, but I can't do anything of myself. But there's something on the inside of me a lot bigger than I am. And when people hunger for it, it just automatically comes out. Sometimes my wife will catch me, it don't matter whether there's 100 or whether there's one. If I get to talking with them and they get hungry and it comes out, well, my wife has to get me. I'll sit there all night long. And I hardly ever find people that's really hungry and thirsty at the things of God. But I praise God for the few. If it wasn't for one or two in the midst of the congregation that hungers and thirsts after things of God, did you know the whole church world would fold up? There wouldn't be nothing coming from God. Like Brother Branham, I've heard him say a lot of times in the meeting, he had a gift in his life, but the only way to get that gift was for the people to hunger after it. When they begin to hunger, well, that's when they got it. It's the same way with Jesus. Brother Branham said, if you can believe. And the same way with Jesus, there was a lot of people around Jesus, but they wasn't getting anything from him. But one little lady come along, you don't have to be a man. I know in the day we're living in, you know, women ain't nothing but garbage cans. I've heard that message from one end of the country to another. We got a bunch of garbage cans, but I'm glad I'm not living with a garbage can. You might be living with one, but I'm glad mine's not a garbage can. Amen. Men talk like women ain't nothing. I don't know where in the world they get that. They act like there's something that just fell down from somewhere that don't amount to nothing. I don't know where they get it. It's not Bible. I said, it's not Bible. I believe a woman ought to stay in her place. I believe a man ought to stay in his place too. Hallelujah. The Bible said a good woman, a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. That's a lot better than some of the men. Amen. I know the Bible said who can find one. It's kind of hard to find, but there is some in the world somewhere. Amen. So this woman, she had enough faith. And a lot of men was around there wasn't doing nothing, but she was able to touch God, Brother King. Hallelujah. And I appreciate the men and I appreciate the women. I don't appreciate women that go to sleep when you're preaching. I said, we got some like that. I never have had but a few people go to sleep on me. One fellow went to sleep on me. He's dead. I said, occasionally somebody goes to sleep and occasionally have a funeral. Amen. How many of you know you miss your visitation? You miss your visitation in the day of the Lord. Amen. Jesus came into Jerusalem one time and he said, Brother Al, he said, the time of visitation was there. And he said, Oh, Jerusalem, if you'd have just known, he said. But he said, in that you didn't know, he said, there's going to be a great desolation. And it came too. He said, the next time a preacher comes along, you'll say, blessed is he. Amen. You say, next time I send you somebody coming along in the name of the Lord, you'll say, well, we'll be glad to get him. And I've been into places like that. You ever been into places like that? Amen. In my feeble journey and my few days down here, I went to a lot of places and they closed them down after we left. I'm in big places, seat sometimes maybe 2,400 people. But God said he's going to close them down. Close them down. Why did he do that? Because the Bible said that this army that he's raising up now, before them it'll be like the Garden of Eden, but behind them it'll be a barren desert. Wherever they're not received, he closes it down. You'll have no use for it. Amen. Somebody said, are you talking about this place, Brother Pike? I'm talking about people. In your heart, you got to receive God in your heart. Amen. God will close the door on you. Amen. Praise God. Some people are so afraid that you're going to give a little bit of glory unto man till they don't never glorify God. That was the trouble back there in the days of Jesus when the Lord Jesus come. Jesus said, if you're going to do any good, you better eat my flesh. And that's the trouble. They can't digest the flesh of the prophets. Amen. They say, bless God, give me Jesus and kick the prophet out the door. I'm thankful that you got to digest that flesh. Somebody said, I ain't got to mess with no flesh. Because Paul said it was sinful flesh. You better be careful how you speak about the body of Christ. The Bible said he's without spot, wrinkle, blemish. Amen. You got to digest his flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Before you get anywhere with God. Praise God. The Word was made flesh. The Bible said we're members of that Word in particular. So that'll be kind of particular. Amen. You love the Lord? Praise God. I believe in serving God. I believe in following Christ. I've heard people say, well, I ain't going to follow a man, but the Bible said Jesus was a man. I've been following him ever since I knew about him. And so I'm going to continue to follow him. Hallelujah. Same way with Paul. I made the statement the other day, we was talking, there's overseers in the church, whether you believe it or not. A lot of people said, bless God, there ain't nobody, and I can do this tonight, but there's overseers in the church. I said, God had overseers, and he's still got overseers, and he's going to have overseers, and even in the millennium. The Bible said when he sits on his throne, there'll be 12 sitting on the throne beside him. There's going to be some overseers out there. Amen. We might as well to tuck our toes in and admit it and confess it and go on. We might as well quit kicking up our heel and saying, bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me this, and I ain't going to follow nobody. You ain't doing nothing but spinning your wheels, as the world says, and you ain't going to get nothing from God. While God goes on and brings a revelation, you're going to be sitting on the sideline, still kicking your heels and spinning your wheels and so forth, and not get nothing from God. Amen. I said, God's got some people in the church that he's ordained to speak and tell them something. Amen. Praise God, when I hear a preacher, I listen. I listen. I don't care whether he's young or whether he's old. David said, I'm young, but I know more than all my teachers because I count thy precepts to be right. He said, I know more than the ancient. Hallelujah. He said, because I believe in the Word. Hallelujah. You can know something if you want to know something. But some people don't know something that they ought to know. Amen. I praise God tonight. come out of here all filled up. I was filled up and was just overflowing. And when I got here, I began to wonder if I was in, had anything. That's right. Praise God. You know what? Jesus said one time, said, got much to say to you. But sometimes we're dull of hearing. We get dull of hearing. That's why he said the Holy Ghost, he's so patient, long-suffering. He just walked with us, and maybe he'll go all day long with us, and all week long, and all month long, and all year long, and can't even get in one word to us. And maybe 3 years from now, he can say hello. But he's long-suffering. He'll stay there. Maybe 3 years later, he'll be able to say something else to you. But I'll tell you what, God wants us to walk in his word, walk in the spirit, and talk with God and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. The church is so shattered, it'll never get anywhere with God. I know we think we're ready. Bless God, we're ready. I preach a message, somebody said we preached that a year ago. I know you're going to preach a message, somebody said, bless God, we had that a year ago. That's a lie, you know it's a lie. I said it's a lie. I'm not afraid to say it was a lie. If it was the Holy Ghost, I'd be done blaspheming the Holy Ghost. If you told the truth, it'd be the Holy Ghost. But you lied. Amen. Amen. You lied. You're a liar. Jesus said the father of it. And that because it's Satan doing the talking. Amen. God said, I'll do a new thing. Does that mean that ain't nothing new to you no more? Y'all never get nothing new no more. God's out of business even. He said, I'll do a new thing. Amen. You better wake up, folks. God's still doing some things. That's what happened to Brother Branham's followers. They decided God didn't have nothing else. That was the finishing of it. But I got news for you. God will be doing something throughout eternity. Amen. He's going to be working right on, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord, say amen. Praise God. God's giving us a visitation. This little tent right here, if there wasn't anybody in it, not anybody in it, God would still be given a visitation. According to Revelation, this is one of the greatest turn of events that the world has ever seen in this little tent right here. In this little place down here where the mosquitoes abide. The foolish and abased things of the world, Brother King, to confound the wise. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to preach the gospel, Brother Tommy. I don't want to spend my time trying to criticize and tear down some man of God. Amen. Or trying to get somebody to on my side. Praise God. I don't have any zeal, Brother Harry, like that. I got a song that says, I don't have time to stop and tarry. I got a message I must carry. Amen. God gave me a message. He sent me on my way. And wherever I can tell it, that's where I want to tell it. Whoever receive it, let it receive it. The Bible said if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, he's got a reward for you. But a lot of folks can't receive the prophet. Bless God, I'll receive God, but away with the prophet. But he didn't say if you could receive God. He said if you could receive the prophet, you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I feel like I needed what Brother King said tonight. I feel like I need what Brother Steve said tonight. Hallelujah, what Brother Taylor said tonight. I feel like it was God when he called on Brother Al because I was going to call on him to testify tonight. And I think it's wonderful. To me, folks, it's one of the greatest privileges that's ever been given to humanity to be able to pray, be able to talk with God, and to be able to hear the minister speaking. Amen. To me, that's wonderful. Someday the voice of the bridegroom won't be heard anymore. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Revelation it won't be heard anymore. While it's down here, it's not them speaking, but it's the bridegroom saying, come. Amen. It won't be heard anymore. You better let it speak while it can. You better get everything it's got to say. You better hear it. Amen. You go to school and you get out of school and you think you got it, and them little things that didn't amount to too much were the very things that little foxes, you know, that's what messes you up. Amen. Praise God. I'm kind of a funny evangelist. To me, just to get up and put on a show or, you know, attract the people, well, I can do that. I can do that, just like anybody else can do that. But somehow, there's no profit in it. That's vanity. There ain't no profit in it. I don't have any enthusiasm. I don't get any anointing to do that. But now when people are hungry and thirsty, And when I walk in their midst and I feel people that are hungry and thirsty, there's something, there is an anointing that comes up in me. There's something that begins to talk with me and begins to talk with them. But as far as me, well, I just ain't a very good showman. I guess one reason for that, I was in show business when I started into this. I guess that's one of the reasons. I started into show business. That was one of the first things I started into. And when I realized what it was, and God saved my soul, I got out of show business. Now, I'm not in show business anymore. I learned there was a reality in God. And I know show business when I see it because I one time was in it. Amen. But I don't want no show business. I want to be what God's got. I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Folks, listen. Believe it or not, it's a true fact that the minister, when he comes to minister to you, he has to spend so much time in preparation, getting your heart ready, that it's too late when he gets ready to preach the message. It's too late because you can't preach a revelation message under about an hour. You just can't do it. Now, you can have what they call a popcorn testimony, and you can have a little, but you can't preach a real, genuine revelation message in 15 to 20 minutes. It takes a little bit of time. And by the time you get ready for it, well, then the time is so late that you know before you get started that the people are going to lose out before you ever get finished. You get right in the middle of it, and then they're going to start losing out. And then when they start drying up on you, or getting tired because they're given to the flesh. And when they start getting tired, well, there you are right in the middle of something. You can't explain it. Everybody gets confused and they go off and they say you said this and said that when you didn't say that at all. I do love you. I do appreciate you. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate so much the consideration of God in the life of Brother King. Well, they say, well, God would have done it anyway, but I believe he had to have Brother King. Amen. I believe he had to have Brother King. And I thank God for the life of Brother King and God in his life that brought this little tent and set it here. And I thank God for our Brother Steve that made it possible for him to set here on his property. I thank God for that. A lot of folks say, well, I don't think God needed him, but I wonder what God would have done without Elijah. Well, he said he could have used anybody. But strangely enough, he never has found another Elijah since that time, has he? I've never heard about one. I know they said Brother Branham was Elijah, but the book don't read it like that. I said, the book don't tell it like that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I said, well, that's what they said. Well, that's what they said, but this is what he said. Amen. You can believe it any way you want to. I know a lot of people, they stop you at the door. And if they believe Malachi, such as they say, they stop you at the door. I said, some little old babes in Christ down to the church down here in Macon, Georgia. Little old bitty fellas that didn't know their right hand from their left, they just had gotten a sip of milk from God and got started, and somebody met them at the door. Do you believe Malachi? I just don't know what it is. Can't use you. I thought, how foolish. How foolish. God said, Peter said, feed my lambs. Amen. Feed my sheep and feed my lambs too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, don't you believe it? Brother Branham was the prophet. I certainly do. I watched him in Revelation. I saw him when his time was to go out. I saw what he was to do, and I still see what he'd done. Amen. I still see his followers killed him. Amen. They crucified his ministry just like the Jews did Jesus. That's right. That's the way they did. You love the Lord? Praise God. I heard people that go to Malachi, they say, well, don't you know what the first of Malachi says? He said, well, that's John the Baptist. They go over and said, don't you know what the last of Malachi says? But if you read over the other gospel, you'll find out that was fulfilled just exactly the same way, too. I said, it gives an account of the first of Malachi and the last of Malachi, too, in two of the different gospels. Just check it out. It tells you so precisely, there's no way to miss it. So, oh, but it might have. No, it don't sound like nothing. It tells you exactly what Malachi said. It takes the words. So there's no way to miss it. I said, well, don't you believe this is the spirit of Elijah this day? I certainly do. Elijah was symbolic of the rapture. I believe that. See, so don't you believe the spirit of Elijah was on Brother Branham? I certainly do. I believe it's on you too. It better be on you. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
He's real. He's real. Praise God. We're not trying to unchristianize anybody. We're not trying to find fault. We're just trying to tell you God's no respect of person. He's got something for every one of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Every one of you. He's got something for. That's what I was going to talk about tonight. I wish you could have got into it. But he's got something for every one of you without respect to person. You don't have to be secondary to nobody. Nobody. Paul wasn't secondary to Elijah, and Elijah wasn't secondary to Moses, and Moses wasn't secondary to Joshua. You don't have to be secondary to nobody. But I'll tell you what you will find. You'll find that Elisha very humbly, sincerely respected Elijah and followed Elijah, and Joshua stayed at his feet. The feet of Moses had done the very things that he knew was right to do with great respect and reverence, and them's the people that God uses.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. There's something good on its way. God's wanting to do something good for us, but we won't let him. We won't let him, folks. You know, the message that God gave me tonight concerning Mark 11:22, I wish that I could have ministered to you tonight. Because I found as a rule, most of the time, that if God gives a message for a certain night, if the church don't get it, he don't give it the next night. You missed it. Somebody said, well, you don't miss it. Yes, you do miss it. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it like that. Well, your believing ain't worth a dime. It ain't got nothing to do with it. A lot of folks feel like because they don't believe it, that just turns God upside down and changes his plan all around. Just because you don't believe it, that don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God says it, whether you believe it, whether you've been taught it, or whether you ever believe it, it don't make no difference.
Amen.
It's still same. Amen. If God's going to heal somebody, he might knock on your door, and you might need healing, but because of your unbelief, he'll pass on by. That doesn't mean that God give up the idea just because you didn't believe it. It didn't make it another fact. Paul, the writer's over there speaking in the New Testament, said it don't make the faith of God of none effect because you don't believe it. God remains faithful. He can't deny himself. He'll just go down to the next house, and where he can find faith, he'll work his miracle. Where he can find faith, then he'll give those things to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord. I want to do something for God. I feel that God is coming here to give a visitation. Prophecy that came to this place said that they would spearhead this next move of God. This is the spearhead of it right now. I told them today, some of the brethren, I said, some of these people here are going to miss this. As sure as I stand here, they're going to miss it. God goes to do something, and they look for some great something out of somewhere that they've got to have a lot of this and that, and then they miss it. That's why they miss Jesus. Came in such simplicity, and God came right by, and they missed it. Some of them are missing it. Some of them are missing it. Something's taking place. Yeah, I praise God, Brother Steve, for one thing. I'm not one of those evangelists you have to convince of something. If God tells me something, if God shows me something, if God makes me to know something, it wouldn't make no difference if Brother Branham or Brother Paul or Brother Elijah or whoever it was rose up from the dead and told me different, it wouldn't even faze me. It wouldn't even faze me. Because when God speaks, it's settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven. Amen. When God tells me that he's doing a thing or shows me years ahead for a certain thing going to happen, when it comes to pass, it's happened. 10,000 worlds can't change it. 10,000 voices can't annul it. It's happened. Right here in this place is a great memorial turn of event that will affect the entire world and the universe besides. Amen. It had to come to pass. It had to come to pass. But you know why people miss it? Because a man came along. A man came along. Amen. That's right. They got petty talks and petty teachings and petty beliefs all over the world. And if you don't get in there with them and paddle their boat the way they want it paddled, bless God, they'll freeze up and that's it. They ain't going to listen nothing. They ain't going to never know nothing more than what they already know because they ain't going to listen nothing else. I guess God intended to change my message tonight. Maybe, brothers, King, you should have preached anyways. Sound like you're going in the right direction. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. What we need to do is wake up. All of them was asleep at the midnight cry. You know, somebody said, Brother Pike, how do you mean I'm asleep in your doctrine? You're asleep. You done got your doctrine. You went to sleep with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it's high time that we awake. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw the glory of God. It's high time that we awake to see the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. What we need to do is go on with God to perfection, as we preached the other night. Go on to be perfect in God. Go on to get something from God, children of God. There's much to be had. There's much land to be possessed. And it's up to us to go on and possess it. God wants to give it to us. But we're going to have to move with God and move in the Spirit if we ever get it. I could stand up here tonight and preach to you until I turn blue in the face. But God didn't intend for us to have to do what I'm doing here tonight. Nor what Brother King done here tonight. He intended for that to go to the world and to the lost and to the undone. But He intended for the church to be edified with the knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you have to spend your time preaching to the church. Paul said because they're not spiritual. They're not spiritual. Hallelujah. I appreciate holiness. I get so tired of having evangelists come into our church down here criticizing the long dresses. I think, Lord, they've never even gotten the first base yet. Start criticizing it. But I tell you this much, we can have long hair, we can have long dresses, but that don't mean we got God. I agree with some of the evangelists. Sometimes God allows them to upbraid people. But I said this before, and I say it again. The Lord said that was sheep clothing. And whether it's a wolf in it or whatever it is, it's still sheep clothing.
Amen.
And the world's going to have it if they ever get to God.
Amen.
I don't believe you ought to abuse the sheep clothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I praise God tonight for women that have the boldness to wear decent clothes in the day we're living in.
Amen.
I praise God for women that stand up and do the right thing. I believe a woman is a wonderful thing. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I don't mess around with women because I don't feel like men ought to mess around with women. I don't believe the Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. When you see a man put his hands on a woman, there's something wrong with him. Something wrong with her too. Amen. He ain't got no business messing with her, no shape, form, nor fashion. Especially when you got one of these preachers that'll stand at the door and shake hands with the lady. She goes out and he rubs her hand and says, lady this and lady that. You better watch that fella. He's up to no good. That's a devil. I believe that women's place is in the home. They should stay home with their children. They should guide the house. The Bible said let them guide the house. The trouble with the world today is the women are rambling around every place but staying at home and guiding the house and raising their children. Working on jobs, going into the Navy, going into the Army, going out on the road anywhere they can, hitchhiking, running up and down the roads, the pool rooms and everything else. That's the trouble with the world today. Amen. I believe if we ought to have ladies, not have ladies in the home. Amen. I believe the men ought to treat them like ladies. And that they ought to treat the men like gentlemen. I believe that. Praise God. I don't know why I got off on that trail. Hallelujah. I just want to read one verse here tonight because I see that I'm not even going to attempt to get into what I was thinking about. But in the book of St. Mark, the 12th chapter here, and in this 24th verse, the Lord here, He quickened something to me. I just want to say this a little bit on here. Jesus answered, said unto them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. I believe the trouble with the church world is that they don't know the Scriptures. I said they don't know the Scriptures. But you say, Brother Pike, everybody across the nation knows the Bible and can read the Bible. But just reading the Bible and knowing the Bible, that don't mean you know the Scriptures. The Bible said the Scriptures appeared unto Abraham way back there long years ago. They appeared unto Abraham before there's ever a printed page. Knowing the printed page don't mean you know the Scriptures. The Scriptures in the beginning was Spirit. And today they're still that spirit is the revelation God that's trying his best to translate us. And he's got to do it through faith. That was some of the things I want to talk about tonight. He wants to do that through your faith. He's got to do it through your faith. Mystery of being filled with the Holy Ghost and then sitting around waiting till Jesus raptures out. Brother, that'll never do it. This thing to feel like everything's done and all we got to do is sit back and wait, that'll never do it. There's going to be something that you're going to have to do if you ever make the translation. You say, Brother Pike, the other night you preached it wasn't anything that I could do. Oh no, I never preached that to you. I preached it was nothing that you could do to add to what God had already done. Amen. But there's plenty you can do in perfecting your faith of God. Amen. By faith, Brother Steve, or by works, faith is made perfect. And there's plenty that you can do. And that's in obeying the Scriptures and doing the thing that God has commanded you to do. But a lot of people are not knowing the Scriptures. They don't know the Scriptures. They never have come into the enlightenment of the Word of God. And because of this, they'll never be able to advance in God. But God has got some people that's going to take this message from this hour on. They're going to take this message, and this message is going to translate. The church is going to translate the bride of Christ. It's going to do it. And you that's running around saying, bless God, we ain't got nothing new, you ain't going nowhere. It's like a fellow over here in Memphis one time. We preached over there, and this fellow, he popped up, and he said, I hadn't heard anything new. I hadn't heard anything new. I said, I told you to start with, the man had the wrong spirit. He wound up in a bad, bad, bad condition and still's in a bad condition today. Amen. No, he didn't get anything new. But the Bible said the wicked shall never see light. It'll never be revealed to them. It's true that some go away and say, I haven't seen anything. They did it with Jesus. Amen. Because it's never revealed to them. It's never made known to them. They come in with a man come into service one time and said, such and such. I said, that's right, brother. I said, you had your mind closed from the time he come in to you went out. But when God got through with him, he opened his mind. The next time we came along, he run and clasped our hand and said, Brother Pike said, we love you. We don't know what it is about you, but we love you. Hey. A few miles further down the road, after some things that happened. Praise God. I say, won't nothing happen. I beg your humble pardon. I beg your humble pardon. I'm not here trying to scare you out of your money that you're going to pay on your car this week. I'm not here trying to take your payment for your refrigerator. I'm here to tell you the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, and some of you don't have the fear of God. Somebody said, but we fear God, but you've been taught by the commandment of men. I'm talking about the fear of God. Brother, when you fear the God that I'm speaking of, you know who you fear? You fear the ministry. Somebody said, bless God, I don't fear no man. But if you had any good Bible sense, you'd fear the man of God. The Bible said concerning the ministry, this is one thing that the church world needs to be taught. The Bible said he is the minister of God sent to you for good. And the Bible said, fear him. Because he set that for your good. If you'll do the things he tells you to do. But if you don't do it, the Bible said, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain. For he is God's minister to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Oh, somebody said it don't matter. Jesus said judgment would begin at the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to get some fear. I perceive there's no fear of God in this place like it ought to be. You can say what you want to, but this sermon shows it. I tell you, it pays to fear God. Amen. When the ministry of God comes through, you receive him. The Bible said you receive him. Amen. If you don't, he'll shake the dust of his feet off. I went by a place not too long ago. I went into this place and I heard this preacher. I had been in his place one time before, and many multiplied times God has used me in the same way. I went in this place and I listened to this preacher. Things didn't sound just exactly right. But I didn't move. I just tried to believe. Tried to do what was right. Tried to say amen. wasn't long before God sent me back to this man's place again. I went into that time and I come out, I took my foot and I shook the dust over my feet. Wasn't long before a wreck hit my table, a terrible thing. Amen. Amen. A number of times in my life, many times in my life, this has happened. I believe in shaking the dust off. Amen. You say, but it's a church. Don't make no difference. You'll read over there in the book of Peter, where Peter said, you forgot that you're blind and can't see afar off. He said, for you forgot you was purged from your old sins. He wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to church people that had been purged. He said, but you become blind and you've forgotten that you were purged. Amen. You might have had an experience, but I'm talking about keeping an experience. You might have had an experience, but I'm talking about keeping an experience. I'm talking about going on with God and doing something for God. Amen. Waking up to the things of God and letting the Spirit of God come into our heart. Amen. I've got some people among my own people that is as carnal as they can be. They're learning every day and learning in the natural and just as natural as it was from the time it started. No, a whole lot more than they did when they started, but they got it in their natural brain and in their natural carnal way of life. And because of that, they went nowhere. I perceive Brother Steve's got some here too. Amen. That caught the spirit of it. Amen. Some of you learning and ain't learning nothing. Some of you ain't going nowhere. But I'll tell you one thing. God's got a few here and a few yonder. And a few scattered around. He said, fear not, little flock, it's thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, he's got a few. Wherever you go, God's going to find somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's somebody that's going to hear the gospel. There's somebody that's going to obey the gospel. Amen. But we can be spiritual if we want to be spiritual. Amen. We can't have the love of God if we want to have the love of God. You say, Brother Pike, what is the love of God? The Bible said the love of God is to keep His commandments. Amen. I hear preachers talking about love. A lot of flattery. Let them get by with this and let them get by with that. And let them do it anyway and never upbraid them, never reprove them. And they call that the love of God. That's not the love of God. The love of God said to keep His commandments. That's the love of God. The love of God will rebuke you. The love of God will reprove you. Then if God loves, He chastens. Bible said, He says to repent. Hallelujah. You say, who you're talking to? Jesus said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Praise God, that goes to me and that goes to you and that goes to the ministry. That goes to the laity and that goes to the church world. That goes to the sinner. That goes to everybody. That's the trouble with the church. And the ministry never listens to anything. The ministry don't ever pay any attention to anything. That's where the trouble is. The sheep can't grow because the preachers won't listen. Amen. I'll tell you, when I hear a preacher preaching, I pay the earnest heed to it. I'm going to listen to it. God sent that man to perfect me just like He did the rest of them. I'm part of the church. Amen. Praise God, this is good for the preacher. If you consider yourself part of the church and you got to listen. Amen. Not only listen, but you got to obey. Somebody said, but I know. I'm talking to you if you do know. Peter said, though you know, I feel to stir up your mind. Praise God, you might know. But there's some things that need to be stirred up. Glory to God, you do error not knowing the Scriptures. The Scripture said to stir it up. Hallelujah, stir it up. Glory to God, I believe in stirring it up, don't you? Not strife, Brother Tommy, not malice, not envy, not criticism. I don't mean stir up that kind of thing. I mean stir up the Spirit of God. And David said the mind that's within you. Hallelujah. Glory to God, the mind, stir up the mind to Christ. Hallelujah. He called it a pure mind. He said, let's get the carnal mind out of the way, Brother King, and stir up the pure mind. Hallelujah. There's a pure mind. Glory to God. Hey, I get to feeling good. Jumping around and shaking your leg. Amen. You know, the Lord really taught me something when I first started out in the ministry. Amen. I love to see preachers do that because God gets on them. I feel like doing the same. I got to jumping up and down when I did, the platform broke through. Amen. So that stopped me. That made me find out there's a way to follow the lead of the Lord. Amen. You say, well, you're just too big. But I was a little fella then. Amen. I wasn't too much bigger than Brother James back there. I was a little fella then. It still broke through. Praise God. I used to be the kind of person, I didn't have too much understanding. Ain't got too much now. Ain't got much sense at all if God don't talk with me. I used to be the kind of fella, if I saw somebody, God of the Spirit, I said, well, let's leave him alone. If God's in it, he'll make out all right. If God ain't in it, well, let him go. Hallelujah. But I found out there's some little babes. Hallelujah. I've seen some run into the post and the blood would fly. I know I've heard a lot of talk about them grabbing up coals and jumping out windows and grabbing poles, and they say, bless God, nothing didn't happen to them. But some of the places I've been, folks, I got something to tell you. It did happen to them. Amen. Something did happen to them. Amen. Sometimes it don't happen. Sometimes it does happen. Amen. God's real. God wants us to be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food. People have given the sacrifice of food and shouted and jumped and run and hollered, but they've not listened to God. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to do that. I know you don't want to do that. I'm not saying that you do that. But I'm telling you, Brother Steve, there's people that do it. Now you say, don't you believe in shouting? I certainly do. I think it's beautiful to see a person dance under the anointing of God. I think it's beautiful to see a preacher get stirred under the anointing of the Lord. David said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall. And the Bible said, when the Ark of the Covenant came in, he danced before it with all his might. Amen. There's nothing wrong with it. It's right. Hallelujah. It's right to sing to God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, the best thing that you've ever done in your life is hear ye the word of the Lord. The prophet said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Amen.
It's nothing like the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to sing. There's a time to sing. I want to shout. There's a time to shout. You know, I don't shout too much on my pulpit. I don't shout too much and kick up my heel, though sometimes I can dance a jig and kick my foot just about over my head. Amen. That's the truth before God. And a lot of people don't think that they think that I don't believe in it because of that. But folks, if you could see me sometimes when I'm before God, amen, shouting and dancing and hollering and screaming, it's been altogether different about it. As a matter of fact, come to think of the day, I went to take a shower. And God began to speak to my heart. And the first thing you know, I was in a little bitty shower room. And I was a-dancing and a-hollering and a-dancing and a-hollering and jumping up and down. Amen, and screaming and praising God. Because God spoke to me.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I wasn't trying to entertain nobody because wasn't nobody there but me and the angels of God. But God done something to me. The Holy Ghost got in my hands. He got in my feet. I love to dance before God.
Amen.
Amen. I never did see Brother Branham dance in his life, but that reminds me of what he said one time. He said he was out in the woods and the Holy Ghost hit him. And said he run around the tree and screamed like a wild Indian. Amen. Dancing and running around the tree. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I guess some folks just do it different ways. That's all. Hallelujah. But the Bible says you do err, not knowing the scriptures. We need to know God's word.
Amen.
Amen. It's high time to wake, folks. It's high time to wake. He's got some glory to show us. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, God ain't going to give his glory to a man. God ain't going to, but God did. Somebody said, well, God won't give his glory to a man, but God did. I said, God did. Amen. He gave it to the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave it to the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, he'll never give his glory to another, but we are not another. We are his own body.
Amen.
I said, remember,
amen,
of his body in particular.
Amen.
Not giving this to another. Brother King, he's giving it to himself. He's glorifying himself.
Amen.
We're his members, Brother Steve. God's glorifying us. The members of his lovely body. Hallelujah. That's why I feel like we ought to speak. You know what? The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. Amen. Be careful how you entertain strangers. Sometimes an angel might pass by. Oh, be careful. Or somebody say, wait a minute, Brother Pye. I mean that. Be careful. Amen. How you entertain strangers. Amen. Sometimes an angel might pass by. Or he said, but angels are in heaven. I know that in the Bible said all the children of God right here in the same scripture where it said you do err not knowing the scriptures. He said in heaven they're all as angels. I said there might be some angels coming your way. There could be. Amen. It would pay us to be careful. It would pay us to be careful. You might be entertaining an angel. Amen. When John talked on the Isle of Patmos to that man, he said, I'm one of the saints. He said, but I'm an angel. I'm an angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it might be an angel of the living God that's dropped in on you to see how you get along. Amen. One day, Abraham under the oak of Mamre was sitting there in the heat of the day. And the angel of God dropped by. The angel of the Lord came by. I believe that there's angels in this tent tonight. I believe you ought to be careful because I believe we're entertaining angels tonight. I believe they're in this tent tonight. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in his name, the Lord Jesus is in the midst. Not only, Brother Steve, are we entertaining angels, but we're entertaining Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I don't know why we're out that tent anyway. There wasn't nothing that happened out there. My brother, you better wake up. Amen. God's in this tent. Wherever there's two or three people gathered together in the name of the Lord, God's there. And if there wasn't anything happened that you could see in your carnal mind, it's still worthwhile to go where God is.
Amen.
The Gentiles seek after signs. There ain't going to be no sign given to them. Amen. They seek after a sign. But the just shall live by faith, not by sight. I saw Abraham sitting under the oak of Mamre, and here those angels came by. Now, what if Abraham had been natural minded? What if he just said, well, that's just some men out there. Ain't no need to worry about them. But Abraham didn't take any chance. Somebody said, well, he knew that there was angels. I don't know whether he did or not. I'm not too sure that he knew there was angels when they first come up. I think he discovered something after the man broke the revelation to him. I believe after that man spoke and said what he did, then I think he got the message. Amen. Abraham didn't take no chance. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. All he knew was that they were strangers. So he got some water and he washed their feet. And he prepared them a meal. He gave them some hospitality. The Bible said the ministers must be given the hospitality. I think one of the most disappointing things I've ever seen in a Christian's life is a selfish person.
Amen.
I went out to Tucson, Arizona. Out there, God sent me out there, and I'm glad that I went like I did. Because God sent me out there and sent me to a place and provided a place for me, gave the finance and everything. I went there to preach a message that God had put in my heart. But I got out there and began to see Brother King, some of the people that had went out there for Brother Branham's ministry. This is after the death of William Branham. I went there and saw some of the people that had gone there. And I heard some testimonies. How that people went into that valley out there that didn't have anything and didn't have nobody to look after them. And believing that them people was God's people and having the love of God, they went out there by faith expecting somebody to give them a hand. But did anybody give them a hand? I tell you, some of them in some hard places. Amen. No hospitality. No hospitality. Praise God, Brother Steve. We're children of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Steve's my brother. Amen. Brother King's my brother. Hallelujah. We're children of God. We're on a mission. We're on a journey. And we've got to do it right, Brother Ty. Amen. We've got to love one another. Jesus said, love one another.
Amen.
Not just any old way, but he said, I loved you.
Amen.
He gave us a specific way to do it. He wants us to love one another. Praise God the way that Christ loved us. Let us love each other. Hallelujah, God, this is honorable and acceptable in the sight of God Almighty. And we love one another. Hallelujah. Not in word, but in deed. Amen. Not in word, but in deed. Like a woman I was preaching in my young ministry one time. I said, the Bible said, let us have love one for another. Well, she listened to my sermon, and after the sermon, she took on some boldness I never quite understood it. Found out later she wasn't right, just right anyway. But I'll tell you what God sure used at that particular time. She come up to me and she said, Brother Pike. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you preached tonight that God said that we ought to have love one for another. I said, yes, ma'am, that's right. I said, we've got to do it. She said, Brother Pike, said, I beg your pardon, God didn't say that. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, it's in the book just like that. Oh, no, she said. She said, God said, have love one to another. I said, well, it's the same thing. She said, no, it's not the same thing. Say, here's a dollar. I got a dollar for you. She said, there's a lot of difference when I got a dollar to you. It didn't take me long to understand what she was saying. Amen. God said, have love one to another. I think the trouble is we feel like we got love one for another. But we need to have it, Christian friend. One to another. Amen. That's the way God's going to judge the world. I used to wonder how God was going to judge the saints. But the Bible said you do it to them, you do it to heathen. That's the way God judges the people. Is by sending the saints through or sending some man of God through. And the way that you're doing it to them, you've done it to the body of Christ. That's the judgment. No, you're not the saints, you judge the world. Hallelujah. How many of you know what them books was when he's opened? Over there when he sat down on the throne and they took the book and they opened the book. Bible said everybody's name that wasn't found wrote in that book was cast in the lake of fire. Is that right? I said, well, what was that book? That was the book that was opened at Calvary. I said, that was Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. That was the book that was opened. Hallelujah. When God's holiest of holies was seen on the inside, when the mind of God was revealed from within Calvary, that was Jesus Christ, the book of life. Everybody that's not found in that blood, in that body, in that membership, the Bible said they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Amen. By one Holy Ghost, one Spirit, we all made members of the body. We're baptized into the membership. Hallelujah. You know who them other books was? The Bible said then the books was open. After the book was open, it pleased God to open the books. Hallelujah! And the Bible said the world was judged out of those books.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know who them books was? It was you and I. Amen. The epistle is known and read of all men. Glory to God, what you've done to them, you've done to me. These people had summed it all up. These were the eyes of the Lord that the Bible speaks of, Brother James. Throughout the world, beholding the good and the evil, God's eyes are running to and fro in the earth. Amen. Through his people tonight, he sees everything. Amen. And the books were open and the people was judged out of those books. Judged out of those books. Hallelujah. You do err not knowing the Scripture. Hallelujah. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Bible says. Oh, folks, let us be careful how we meet one another. Amen. Like Brother Branham, I remember this comes in my mind and heart. Brother Branham changed his whole disposition after he went beyond the veil. I never did hear him say this, Brother Steve, but I perceived it. Amen. I perceived it. When after Brother Branham went beyond that veil and he'd come back when he met somebody, he'd say, my dear brother. Amen. You know why? Because he said when he got up there, everybody was saying, my dear brother. They was running over saying, my dear brother. And Brother Branham, he got a new outlook on Christians. He got a new outlook on the people of God. And when he came back, he said, my dear brother. And when he called on, he'd say, my dear brother, praise God, there's something dear about these people. There's something holy about these people. There's something precious about these people. You say, now, if Jesus coming here tonight, I'd act different. But my friend, you acted just exactly the way that God intended for you to act here tonight because God is here. Jesus is here tonight. Hallelujah, he is here tonight. He said you do err, not knowing the Scripture. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. Praise God. I'm not going to hold you any longer tonight. I just, Lord, exalt you a little bit. I felt inspired to say those few things. I'd like for you to gather around the altars just for a few minutes, brethren, if you will. Let's gather around just for a few minutes, sisters of the Lord. Sister. Hallelujah. That's some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight that we didn't get to.
Amen. The real justification of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God wants to do something for us, but you got to do something, people. You got to do something. You got to walk in the light as He's in the light. We can have fellowship one with another. In the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. Oh, Paul said, why should he throw an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? Amen. God can do anything. God will do anything. All we got to do is believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't care what I believe. I don't care what I've been told. Brother, if you tell me something I don't know, I might not come to God, you can be sure I'm going to take it. Amen. He said, well, I ain't got enough room for it. Well, I have. Amen. I got enough room for it. I don't care if it comes from a brother or from a sister, whoever it is. Amen. If it's from God, I'm going to receive it. Amen. You love the Lord? Praise God. Say, well, I guess you believe in winning promise. I believe in Christians. I said, I believe in Christians. Amen. Somebody said, well, you want this to turn us to three. I ain't either one of them. Are you Jesus only? What is it? I'm not either one. I'm just a Christian. That's all that I am. I'm a child of God. Been born of the Spirit. I belong to the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. His name's in heaven. Praise God. Amen. You love the Lord. Just walk in the light. Just His in the light. How you know you walk in the light? I tell you, some of you don't know. You dare not know in the Scripture. You don't know we walk in the light or not. Somebody said, well, I know. How do you know? You have fellowship one with another. Sometimes when I see that this fellowship is going on, I say, my God, they couldn't be in the light. I said, it couldn't be in light. A lot of times back home, we have some brother, some sister withdraw from the fellowship. I say, God, they're walking in darkness. Oh, they sound like they're really burning up the wind. I say, God, they're walking in darkness. Somebody come along and say, I had a dream. I had a dream, and God said, by the dreams, they seek to turn my people away from my word. Amen. A lot of folks have dreams. That's right. Say, see, but God said, you let them speak the dream, and you speak the word. And you speak the word. I let them tell the dreams, and I'll tell the word. Amen. I believe in dreams. I believe in visions. If there be a prophet among you, I'll reveal myself unto it in dreams and in visions. I believe that. Amen. The Bible said there's a horrible thing that's happening. The priest's love gives. The cup's not lost. The word of God's not in it. They've all become like the wind. Evan had a dream. Amen. The Bible even tells it like it is, don't you? Hallelujah. What this fellowship, the word says. I don't care what the dream said. The word says. Amen. The word says, Brother Steve probably didn't have this trouble. Somebody have a dream that Brother Steve's a rascal. So they leave it. Amen. How do you know what a rascal is? A rascal is something that you bait up a trap and then you rob the trap. While it's baited, you rob it. Amen. That's right. And I say, Brother Steve's a rascal. Have a dream. Amen. Is that right? And so they try to kill his influence in the eyes of the people. Is that right? Amen. But God said, speak the word. Amen. He said, speak the word. Praise God, if the word calls Brother Rat, my brother Steve, the son of God, you better not call him Rat. And I don't care what you dream. I don't care what you dream. That got nothing to do with it. It's what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bill, walk in. Let's sing that little chorus. Give it up, Keith. Bill, walk in. Amen. God wanting to do something in this meeting. Amen. God's wanting to do something, but we're going to have to believe God. We're going to have to believe God. God's real. I feel a little more faith here today than I did the first service. I feel a little anointing here now. I didn't feel more about the first service. Just wasn't there. Brother Steve was singing his heart out and trying his best to rouse you to wake. Amen. And I felt God, Brother Steve, outside of him. And all of a sudden, he just went out as we went away. Just went there. And Brother King up here exhorting you, preaching his heart out to you. Amen. But we didn't have the response to it that we ought to. You say, but I said, amen. That ain't worth the time he took to say it. Amen. It's God trying to reach your spirit. It's not Brother King's natural body trying to reach your natural man. It's God, the Spirit within his vessel, trying to reach your spirit. Amen. You've got to believe God's a spirit. God's a spirit. God can do anything. God will do anything because God's a spirit. Amen. God's a spirit. He wants to do something for us. But we've got to believe. A lot of times we fly ourselves out trying to figure out what we got to do to get God to work. But Mark 11:22, it says one thing, have faith in God. That's all it says. Amen. Have faith in God. There meant something else, Brother King, he told us. He said, have faith in God. Jesus went down with his mother. He said, if thou canst believe. He said, if you believe, he said, I don't care what you say. If you believe in your heart, it'll come to pass. He said, it will come to pass. If a man say to this mountain, be thou removed. And if he believe in his heart and you don't doubt it, Jesus said, it will come to pass. And whatever things you desire when you pray, he said, believe that you have it and you receive it. You receive it, just accept it. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish tonight that, because God had his way, but I wish tonight that we could have ministered on the things that we wanted to. I believe from the depths of my soul tonight that it would have hooked somebody's speaking tonight. If they could have heard the thing that God had in my heart for you tonight, it would have done something for your faith. Perhaps it's never been done in your whole lifetime. Amen. I believe that. I'd be a liar if I said anything different because I believe that. Hallelujah. It was from God. It's still in my heart. Amen. Maybe we'll get to say it before the services are over. I don't know. I do know one thing, folks. Unless we get hungry, we've got all that we'll get from God. Unless we get hungry. Amen. Unless we get hungry, because God cannot do anything unless we believe. He cannot do anything unless we hunger and unless we thirst after it. He can't do it. He can't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel to say a lot of things in my heart. In my heart, a lot of things. I feel, to be honest with you, I feel some folks here in our midst that is so shattering God. They're so shattering God till it's unbelievable. Going to discernment in considerable time that they've been exposed to the gospel. And having been in the gospel, they're so shattered. They sang that song. I hear a lot of people sometimes they sing a song trying to soothe themselves. They sang, I don't know the mysteries of the Bible. All I know is thy word. And I said, oh God, help the man who wrote that. That's all right. If you don't know the mysteries of the Bible, that's all right if you don't know them. But my brother, you better learn it because God says it's given unto you to know. That songwriter needed to know that it was given unto him to know the mysteries. And you can't stand up and sing a song and cool yourself and say, I don't know. And be willfully ignorant, as Paul said. You've got to know. The Bible said, go on to know. Amen. We've got to do something, folks. Men and women alike, we've got to do something. There's some of the young ladies that quit playing hands with men. They can do something. Some of the men quit playing hands with ladies. They can do something. I got over to a place over in Memphis one time. Here every night they give it and give it outside and start acting like children and playing with the women. I said something to them and I said, well, that's my cousin. That's my cousin. I said, well, I can't help it, it is your cousin. Bible says it's good for man not to touch woman. You need to leave your cousin alone. I don't care if it's your sister. You ought to have enough respect to need to hear enough of her. And if it's your brother, you ought to do the same thing. Because his brother and sister don't give you no priority. I know brothers and sisters that's laid with each other and committed harlotry. I know daddies that's laid with their own daughters. I know men that killed us. And in law because he laid with his own daughter. He saw his own daughter. Be respect. Amen. Don't give you no priority. We're supposed to be ladies. We're supposed to be gentlemen. We're supposed to be clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you tonight. If you're here lost and undone without God, folks, think instead of the things you're saying. We want to be an example of Christ. We want to be a light. Amen.
Let's be real men of God. Let's quit like men. Children quit before the job's finished, but men can do the heat of the day. They wait till the job's finished. Tonight, as I pray for you, if you're here lost and undone without God, if you don't have God in your heart, remember that you're falling into the hands of a living God. And the Bible said it's a fearful thing. I know when ministers say that, they quote it. I know when the ministers say that, they say, oh, bless God, we've been in the hands of God all the time. No, you haven't. Oh, no, you haven't, dear children. No, you haven't. All of us said, but the world's been in God's hands all the time. Haven't you heard the song that God holds the world in his hand? No, children of God. No, you haven't been in the hands of God. No, you haven't. But you're fixing to fall into the hands of God. The Bible said when you know to do good and then you don't do it, then you're in the hands of God. When knowledge increases through the world and people know that God's will and they know God's desire, then they're in the hands of God. Because God doesn't judge anybody till they know. The Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did not do it shall be beaten with many stripes. The servant that did not do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes, God would be merciful. Not let him be unpunished, but he'd be beaten with few stripes. Amen. And I tell you tonight, the Bible said, if you judge your sins, you have no need to be judged. But if you judge of God, then you're chastened by God, that you're not going to deal with the world. That's what the church needs to do. They need to judge a sin, but then God wouldn't have to chase them. They wouldn't be sick all the time and having problems all the time. Being in turmoil all the time. Having family feuds all the time. If they judge themselves, examine themselves, sin, they'd be in the faith of the Word. Amen. Then God wouldn't have to judge them. But friend, if you're a Christian, if you're elect, God's going to have to put your sins behind you. He has to give you a whipping year every day to do it. Amen. Because he can't let them go into the judgment. Some men's sins go before the judgment. Some fall after. I confess mine. God judged by his mercy. Went before me. I don't want any falling after me. But I confess sin's going to come after you. It's going to condemn you to judgment and be cut off. But children of God have to be killed all day long. Account of sheep for the slaughter. Steam smith of God. Chase them because of the body of Christ. Mighty obedience by the things that suffered as he did though he was a son. Amen. Judge ourselves if we can escape the chastisements of God. I said this often, I said again tonight. There's two kinds of children that I deal with, or don't deal with, rather. One of them is one that don't belong to me, and the other one is the one that obeys me. That's the kind of God that is me. Amen. If you don't belong to me, if you're a bastard child, you need to worry about a whipping, he won't give you one. He'll just let you go on and on until you run into the judgments of Christ. And if you're obedient, God ain't going to whip you. But woe unto the backslider. And them that won't judge themselves, they're going to be chastened. They're going to be beaten. That's wrong with God. Our trouble, we perish. The Bible said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. Plenty of religious all over the world with the lack of knowledge. Godly knowledge, godly understanding. With wisdom, Solomon said, get some understanding. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as we gather together here in this little group of people, a great, wonderful memorial event is taking place, Jesus. A great thing is transpiring in our midst. Father, underneath this little tent that's been hurled all the way across the nation, Father, we stand here tonight knowing that we are all together vanity except in Christ. And dear God, the flesh profit is nothing. And when we look around us, we need to remember that you said there is none good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. Every man has turned his own way. And you've laid upon him, Lord, and to give us all. I know the Lord. I know the Word. Teaches the Lord. That what it says to them that are under the law that every mouth might be stopped. I know that. But oh, God, we're out of the law tonight. We're under grace. But Father, when we fail to accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then we're under the law. Lord, we're judged as transgressors of the law because we've fallen from grace. But oh, God, tonight there's none good, no, not one, except in the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the grace of Jesus Christ, Father, I find the righteous, made righteous by your blood. Oh, God, look down upon the church tonight. Father, cleanse and purge and purify and make well. And dear God, let it be said that we can leave a blessing behind us wherever we go in this world. Oh, dear God, upon them, Father, when you said, they that you bless shall be blessed, they that you curse shall be cursed. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. Whosoever sins you remit, I'll take them away. Whosoever sins you bind to, I'll bind them to the judgment. And oh, God, tonight, having the power to remit a man's sins, having the power to bind the sins, help the people to reverence the ministry across the world. Oh, God, that you might take away sins, knowing they stop them, but should be finished the Word. The Heavenly Father, faith in that Word, Father. Sets them in liberty, O God. Our unbelief in that Word, that spoken Word, God, binds their sins to them. As the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the judgment beginning in the house of God, as you speak from within your throne, dear God, from within the breast, O God, and within the sanctuary of the Lord, I pray tonight that they'll believe these words. I pray that they'll be eager to hear, O God, to give the more heed to the things they've heard, lest at any time, Lord, these things should slip. May you bless these people. May you bring a blessing upon them. May you take away their sins. May you help them to grow into the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and the fullness of the stature. Oh God, give us the grace and give us the knowledge to grow in. Help us tonight if there be one that's lost here. Oh God, I pray that in the name of Jesus that they'll be saved. I pray tonight, dear God, if there's one that's sick in body tonight, Lord, that you'll heal their body. And Father, that you'll break the yoke off of them. But it's not my pleasure for them to be sick and afflicted. Oh God, but above all things, you said, I want them to be in health. I want them to prosper. I pray that they'll be blessed tonight. I pray that they'll be enlightened tonight. If God is their soul prospered, I pray that the prosperity will follow them. In the name of Jesus tonight, give us that faith for us in the kingdom, Lord, that all things may be added through that. Help us, Lord, to the great prosperity of the soul that brings us all things. I ask you to do it tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless Brother King. Father, bless Brother Steve. Father, bless these ministers that are here tonight. Give them a great ministry and a great anointing. Father, in this hour of the double portion that's coming down from heaven, I pray that they will receive it. Oh, God, you promised the format the latter rain and exceed them. And dear God, this double portion is to go upon the church. I pray, God, that it be received in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have us to remember, Father, that the end of the thing is better than the beginning. And Lord, though we've had great things, this is best of all. Lord, we save the best wine for the last. I ask you to do this in the name of Jesus. And for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.